Hello, everyone. Welcome. Blessings. Amanda Grace here with you. We have Marty Grisham with us for Grace Out Loud. We'll be bringing him in just a moment. Welcome to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. We are so happy to have you. Everyone starts putting their states in the chat. We see California, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Texas. We see Florida a lot. We definitely see the boroughs. I see the Queens, Bronx. We see Long Island. And then we have our international audience. So welcome to all of you. This is going to be a fun and interesting Grace Out Loud, because we've already been joking around backstage. So we're nice and warmed up and ready to go. So let's bring in Marty Grisham.
Well, hello, Amanda.
Hello. How are you?
We've already had some fun, or haven't we?
Yes, we have.
We have a friend here with me joking around backstage.
Oh, there he is. Oh, he graduated. Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Gumbo graduated.
Gumbo graduate, and he's got a word butt, so that's always good. Praise the Lord. Telling you, he's a man of his, or a chicken of the word. So
he's a student of the word, I guess.
He is.
Literally. Okay.
He sits on the word of God and he's not moved.
You know what? It's a lesson be to us all. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's good to be with you. Praise God. We had such a great time at the Reawaken America tour with you guys and so many others.
Mm-hmm. We did. We had a good time. Marty, we were hanging out in the corner of the green room, and we were joking around and chatting, and suddenly pulls out an unsweet nice tea like it's contraband and hands it to me. And he's like, I got stevia if you need it too.
Well, I learned that from you. Like, I don't know, maybe, I don't remember what we reawakened were, but you had some of your staff pulling those out. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea.
So, see, isn't it? Yep. Yeah,
but no sugar.
He was a walking convenience store.
Yes. That's that backpack's full of snacks.
Snacks, drinks, stevia.
Yeah.
So it all. But
chickens,
yeah.
Chickens.
Chickens.
Hey, you normally say this.
What?
You normally say this, but we should pray.
We need to open up in prayer. Yes.
Okay.
We do. Okay, Marty. So if you want to start, yep.
Yes.
I'll finish.
Father God, we just thank you for this chance that we can come together. All of us watching, all of us just united in our hearts, united by the Spirit of God, united by your word, united by the very heart and the mind of you, Father. Father, I thank you for unity. Father, I thank you that we can come together. And just for the next hour, we can just explore how you see things. Father, it's so important. We all have opinions, Father, right? Don't we, Lord? Don't we? We all have opinions. We all have remarks. We all have what we see. But Lord, we just truly endeavor to see things the way you do. I know you show them to us. I know you can show us the hour of the church we're in right now. Yes. I know you can show us the state of the church we're in right now. I know you can show us where you want us to go, how you want us to get there, the steps to take. If there's adjustments to be made, you can show us. And we thank you for that. So I say all of that to you, Father, to use this next hour to speak to us, to lead us and guide us, to bring us revelation, to bring us insight, spiritual understanding and wisdom. We cry out and we ask for you by the Spirit of God, by the powerful word of God, show us what adjustments can be made. Lord, we know we need you. We need more and more every day. And so we ask and we pray, and we know you fulfill our prayers. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus.
Father God, we just praise you for another day, Lord. Lord, we just praise you that you are a merciful God. You are long-suffering. You are slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge that your Son, Jesus Christ, was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us on the earth. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you. He paid the highest price, and he paid the largest debt in history of the sins of humanity. And Lord, we praise you. He rose again in 3 days. He ascended back into heaven. He took his rightful victorious place at your right hand, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is our advocate without ceasing before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place in this time, Lord. Fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Let your word go out ahead of us, Father God, and lead and guide us as we go forth, Father. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would order our steps, for the steps of the righteous are indeed ordered of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you. We are the dust of the earth. Without your breath of life in us, Father God, let your name be glorified above all. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Woo, glory. You're breaking it out like the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. What's right. going on right now? Well, what's going on right now? You know, I think you and I were going to discuss kind of like what I was praying there, the status of the church.
Yes.
Like, so Amanda, where are we? We've got the last 2 weeks election commentary. We have eviction commentary. We have all this stuff going on, and those are great shows, but what's the church need to do, or where's the church at in all of this?
Well, this is the year, right? I say 2024 is the year of Joshua 24. Choose this day whom you will serve.
Good.
Because part of the church has let a lot of other hosts in that are dictating right now and leading them around by the neck. And shepherds, true shepherds, like I said, I had been sounding the alarm about this for 2 years. The greatest divide between the shepherds and the showmen is happening now. There is a big difference between shepherds and showmen. You want to call them Phillips and Simon the sorcerers. You want to call them shepherds and showmen. This is the greatest divide we are seeing, and it is currently happening. And God is allowing it, because the church, the part of the church that is rising up in this, needs to bear the standard that God is raising in the nation. We are meant to bear that standard. We are meant to be the voices crying in the wilderness. We are meant to be the example. We are meant to bring, you know, forth that shepherding mentality. A shepherd is scrappy. They're scrappy. They'll scrap. You know, they'll roll up their sleeves. They'll engage predators. You know what I mean? They'll
Arthur be Pulowski.
Out of the flock. You know,
Arthur Pulowski.
Exactly. They will do, though. Pastor Art, a perfect example.
Yeah.
They will do those things to protect the flock.
Yeah.
And so we're watching God actively as we're going through a valley. We're seeing that the flock, there's a little flock that's going to have to move on from this. And there's a part of a church that'll be left to die in that valley if they don't wake up.
Yeah. You know, just when you saying that, I just was quickened in my heart, because when years ago I had learned about the five stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't remember them in order. I mean, you could probably do a search engine and find those really quickly. But I know one is like denial. Like if you have a loved one pass away, you could be denial. There comes a time where you're in anger. And so there's these five stages, and they found it to be very common that you'll go through, and you can almost see these different five stages that takes you to the place of healing or getting over it. I think what we're dealing with here with the church isn't just a something happening, boom, the church is alive. I think we have stages. I don't know if they're five. I hope there's not 50. I do know the Lord said to me that the Georgia Guidestones was a wake-up line. He said, as a line in the sand, I know the Lord said to me, Roe versus Wade was a line in the sand by the very finger of God saying, choose a side. Now, what did you say about 2024?
Oh, choose is the year of Joshua 24. Choose this day whom you will serve.
Yeah. And so for about 3 years now, just these little things going on, which they're big events. And then also the election in 2020, the Lord completely said to me, it's a line in the sand.
It was.
What we're seeing right now with Donald Trump is a line in the sand. There's so much where God is the stages of endeavoring to recover his body. See, grief recovery, five stages of grief, and then recovering the body of Christ back unto a functioning, active, productive body.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting? The Lord had showed me something about this when you had just said that what happened to Donald Trump is a line in the sand, right?
Yeah.
Proverbs 16:18 says, pride cometh before destruction, right? And a haughty spirit before a big fall, right? Yeah. And we're in something called Pride Month, which is a load of you know what.
Oh, so it's a bunch of you know what.
Come on. But they, right, through all the corruptness, convicted him, right, on 34 counts, right?
Yeah.
Proverbs 16:18. 16 plus 18 is 34. It is no mistake.
Wow.
That number was used.
Wow.
Because this verse, right, pride is going to be their judge and jury.
Yeah.
Pride is going to be their judge and jury on this. It is. So,
yeah,
I just wanted to point that out as we were talking.
Yeah, it's very important. Very important to know that the things of God, that God creates, that are pure, holy, beautiful, godly, the holy things of God,
yeah,
God creates those, and marriage, and male-female sexuality. Yeah. The enemy comes in, and the Lord said this to me one time, everything the enemy does is never creative. It's always coming in and taking that beautiful created thing of God and endeavors. And he said these two words to me, twist it and pervert it. Well, now, if you really studied the occult, which I haven't studied a deep dive into it, but I know enough about it to know that it is a twisting and perverting type of religion or whatever they want to call themselves. It is a twisting and perverting and because I know they do twisting, right? So everything Satan does tries to take the things of God and twist it and pervert it. And that's really my number one thought when it comes to pride and what they've done with the beautiful, glorious promise of the rainbow that he'll never take out man that way again. Yeah. All of this stuff is a twisting and a perverting.
And that's what serpents do.
Yeah.
Right? They twist, they coil, they constrict, they pervert. This all goes back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is exactly what the serpent did at the tree. He took and he twisted and he perverted what God said. And he fed it to Eve and she fell for the deception. And then she fed that to Adam.
Yeah.
And so it is the same game plan as at the garden, but reworked for a modern day generation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reworked and repurposed.
You know, we don't want to make a show about butts, but it is a pretty good idea because now I'm trying to be a little funny there, right? Because I've been known to do that, but a show about butts, but I'm not talking about the rear. I'm talking about all the butts in the Bible where the enemy's just doing something then suddenly, but God. But and so God. That's kind of what I want to bring in right now.
Okay.
But God. So we can make some of this show about the, but God is he's already got the victory. He's already given us the, see, Jesus, he went down and spoiled all those principalities and powers. It literally says he made a show of them
and spectacle
openly. It was not a hidden back room experience. He made a show of them defeating the devil, defeating them. So I've got to say, in the midst of election, in the midst of eviction, in the midst of all the silly and crazy, but God. And then my second point, greater is he. When you're born again, greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. The more we learn to look to the inside where the greater one is, the smaller the enemy seems in our eyes.
And the more his noise gets canceled out.
Absolutely.
Because the enemy will go to great lengths to create noise, and a lot of it, and through that noise, be able to try to get as close as he can to the voice of God.
Yeah.
And when you go deeper in your walk, the key is learning to hear God through all the noise.
Yeah.
Shutting all that noise out and being able to point out the voice of the Lord within that noise and know that's him, because the enemy has created a lot of it right now. And he's done it intentionally, he's done it pridefully, and he's done it purposefully.
Yeah. And that was so, I'm so glad you brought us back to that, because that's kind of what we were wanting to cover. And I ended up praying when I prayed there in the beginning. What's the mind of God for the now? And where does he want us to be? And what adjustments do we make?
Yes.
And so I've got to revert back to the basics that I truly, truly believe, because when you have a revelation of the authority of the body of Christ, which you actually was, we who were we with the pastor there in a Reawaken? But I said
was,
someone
wonderful, that pastor of Grace Community.
Oh, Pastor Jerry Weinzierl.
Love.
Yep. Pastor Jerry Weinzierl at Grace Christian Church in Sterling Heights, Michigan. We love you. Thank you for allowing Clay and General Flynn and all of us to come be at your church. We love you. You'll probably be watching this. If not, I'm going to send you the link. But,
hi, Pastor Jerry.
Hey, Pastor Jerry. And your wonderful wife, Miss Joy.
Oh, she was lovely. You. I met her. They made me take a picture next to the sign that's promoting, I guess, a course that she's doing, because the colors I was wearing match the sign. So Pastor Jerry said, will you take a picture next to the sign? And I did that. Say, but his wife is lovely.
If you're in Michigan and you don't have a local church, go to Grace Christian Church in Sterling Heights. They are top-notch people, and they have the fullness of the gospel, the Holy Spirit, healing, prayer. They do it all. It's the place to go, I'm telling you. So we honor those wonderful people of God. Yeah. 40 years they've been pastoring there. 40 years.
40 is a significant.
That's almost my age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so having the mind of God and how to make adjustments to where he wants us to be. I have to revert back every single time to what you've done. You've given out over 1,000 of the Authority of the Believer books from, you know, the Believer's Authority book.
So it's pretty darn close to that. Yeah.
From Kenneth E. Hagin. That message is where we have to take our conversation right now, because we've allowed the darkness in the earth, because that's not been done. We've not been operating in the authority that we have.
In fact, it's on my shelf. Keep talking, Marty. I'll grab it. Yep.
Yes, grab that. I have one on my shelf, but I have too many lights between me and that. Can't reach it.
Okay. I got it.
I do have Dr. Sherwood's book on how to eat right. Praise God.
Anti-inflammatory diet. Yes.
Praise God.
That does help.
Yes.
Okay. This is on my shelf at all times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That revelation in that book of the authority that we have in Jesus' name in the earth. See, a lot of people still revert to, oh, Jesus, come down and save us. And Jesus is like, oh my gosh, I've given you the ability to do the saving. You've been given authority and power in my name. And so, but what you and I were doing a show maybe a year ago, and I ended up saying these words: inside the authority he's given us is embedded the responsibility that we have to do it.
Yes.
It's our job.
It is. And I'll tell you, the first two pages, right? It says the prayers of Paul, right? This is chapter one. Yeah. These two scriptures, they're multiple scriptures in each chapter, but Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, I say every day. Every single day. So I encourage all of you to go look up that Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Start making this a habit. He talks about this in the first two pages of the book.
I feel like we should pray.
Okay.
Can we pray a minute?
Yes.
I two times since we've been on this show, I've had this small stirring. Now, in my world, I've already had a show that I've done, my live show, and then I've already done two prayer groups. So I'm wound up like this guy on steroids right now. And so a chicken, but yeah, let's just pray just real quickly. If we could, I mean, it's your show. It's our show. We can do whatever we want. Pray the Lord. So okay. Father, we just thank you. Ma kuso lo viglagut. And mi namasi selo is saloku. Samsono meni maka. And so I hear the word of the Lord coming unto me to you, Amanda. And it's just real simple. There's a repositioning of you. And because he's found you faithful in some things he's asked you to do. And you've been faithful, faithful, faithful. And I really just sense there is a repositioning taking place. And it will be revealed more and more over the next few months. And it might not even be made known to those around you, but sometimes it's just you, but it could also be the ministry. But there is a repositioning, because as the time is nearer and dearer to the end, he's needing more from us. And you've been found faithful in some things, and so some bigger things are being asked of you. And so I think that's Lord, is that all that you wanted to say? Just nice and simple and sweet. Yeah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. Yeah. That felt good. That felt good.
Thank you,
so
Lord.
That's just all
thank
that I had God. There. I just knew there was something there I had to yield to. And sometimes he likes to do it publicly, and I could do that privately, but you know, he was unctioning me to do that. So,
okay. So
some things, some greater, I don't know, greater call, greater anointings. Some repositioning, some
Lord, let
extra.
Me carry it well. That's all.
You
I
just
am.
Need more work, Amanda. He just wants to get. He wants to double the load. I'm joking. So.
I always know Marty has some, in poker. There's something called a tell. Marty has a tell when he's going to give a word. He cocks his head like a German Shepherd, and he cocks his head and he looks like this for a minute. And I know something's staring in him. I've learned this about him watching him enough.
I know it's funny. My wife, Jenny, makes fun of me. She doesn't make fun of me, but my face does this. And she goes, oh, everybody be quiet. There's the face. And I'm like,
see, Jenny sees it too.
So, yeah. Uh-huh. Praise
well,
the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I receive that in Jesus' name.
Yeah. 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 It's going to be good. It's good. So I'm telling you, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you. And so let me pray this real quick. Father God, there's going to be more companies of angels needed to accomplish this.
Yes, Lord.
And so we call on you, Manigesula. We call on you, ministering angels selected in the angelic army for this assignment. Get into place now for the things that she's called to do and Ark of Grace is called to do. Get into place now for that when she steps into that, you'll already be there.
Yes.
And we call for that to be 10,000 in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. And help Chris to deal with all of this in Jesus' name.
Yes. In the precious name of Jesus.
Help Chris and his sanity to deal with all of this, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's an
okay.
Addition.
Well, I'm not trying to be super spiritual today, but I've been in the spirit most
You're
of the morning. So
to be that here. We,
Hallelujah.
We love that.
We just love to have some good time together.
Yes.
So the church, two or three years of waking up and we're still in this. Well, how
you know? Yeah.
Go
you
ahead.
Know, it's interesting because you know, when it really began to really, really falter is the first, well, it went into the second term because the first term was the groundwork for the second term.
Yeah.
But the first term, of Obama, right? This part of the church started to be led astray. And by 2015 is when the same-sex marriage ruling came down from the Supreme Court. So next year, it'll be 10 years. Mm. Next year, in June, by the way, June 26th, it will be. This year, it's 9 years. We're coming up on 9 years. And that is really when you saw a stake driven in the ground of the nation that was literally meant to send a crack right through. You know how, like, you know, when something is driven into the ground and there's a rumbling in the ground and crack begins to form and move towards? That's what was happening. That moved right into the church. And this is when you started to see these small compromises and fracturings really begin to go into overdrive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was around that time.
A lot of people who are Christians in the body of Christ believe that they read the word and they're doing good. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. If you've not developed a relationship with the mind and the heart of the Holy Spirit as to where he can lead you on how to vote, he can lead you on where to go to church, he can lead you on where to get a job, who to date. If you are just living the word alone, you are not even living half of the Christian life. You have to develop a relationship of knowing the intimacy and the just the fluctuations of how the Holy Spirit will speak to us and lead us all day. And so I'm really saying this because I believe the Holy Ghost just gave me this to say really strong. If you are word only, you're not enough. You're not the fullness of the word. It's the word and the Holy Spirit, the two working together in your life that you can have the mind of God on how to vote and how to do things. I was at a church in Detroit Sunday morning. The Antis, our Antis friends, we were there. We went to a church and we were shared that half of the people, probably half of that church, big church, lost half the congregation when the pastor of the church did not support Obama.
Wow. See?
Yeah. These are strong people of God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because the pastor had the mind of God, had the mind of the Spirit, knew faults and truth. And a lot of the people didn't want to follow that because they wanted to vote for a person for other reasons instead of who God says should be the person. So,
well, that's really what happened is pigment became more important than the person.
Yeah.
That's really what happened there. Pigment became more important than the person and the content of the character and the spiritual walk. And the track record of that person, you know, and the enemy, you see, the enemy knows in these communities, that's their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
He knows it. That's the Achilles right there. And if you don't think he's not going to go for that in your life, he is going to go for the Achilles. That's why you can't be moved by emotion. And I'm talking to you as an Italian woman from the Bronx, and we are hardwired.
Yeah, for that.
But there are times you cannot be moved and let the emotional jerk you around on a chain because it's going to drag you into a ditch. And then the Lord's going to have to work hard with you to get yourself out of that ditch.
Yeah.
You know, and this is kind of, you know, back when we're talking about, you know, 2012, 2016 is when really, you know, chains went on and the church was being drug into a ditch and being told to stay in that ditch.
Yep.
And you know what happened now? We digging ourselves out.
Yeah.
With the Lord. Get your shovels, people.
Yeah.
We coming out.
Come on. We're going to dig it out. Well, we're going to climb out. If you keep digging in a hole, you just keep going deep, but we're going to climb out. So.
No, you dig, you put the dirt, you step on top of the dirt till you get to the top.
Perfect.
Yep.
My mom was born in Poland. She was German, born in Poland.
Okay.
And during Hitler and the things taking place, she actually became a refugee for quite a bit of time. Lived in she and her mom and her younger brothers, my uncles, they were refugees, literally. So from my family, I'm half German. So I can say I've come from a world where my mom, you know, she raised us understanding the need for freedom. And so I say this very carefully. When it comes to racism, there's two sides to that. You don't reject someone because of pigment, and then you don't just accept someone
because
of pigment.
That works both
Everything
ways.
We do is because of the Spirit of God leads us. We weigh everything on how they live according to the word, right?
Yes.
If they don't live the word, they're not walking with God. If they're not walking with God, we don't elect them into office.
No.
You know, now I'm not saying they got to have a perfect relationship, but at the same time, we're always led. Because someone's going to say, well, Donald Trump's not a perfect. Well, none of us are. You are welcome to cast stones at any of us when you're done casting stones at yourself. Because none of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But there's something about the heart and the mind of God saying, this is my man, this is my woman, this is my person. And we know what he said concerning those elections. But we don't just accept. And so that's what I saw. A lot of them accepted Obama just because of that, when he was not the right person. He was a dark on the inside person. And we saw how he led. We saw what he did. One of the worst presidents ever.
Yep. And it was it was the charismatic, persona.
Yeah.
That had lawlessness attached to it.
Yeah.
That had that spirit, of Antichrist that was trying to, come into the nation with lawlessness. They work in conjunction and begin to go to work. We saw that happening because people, that whole election had to do with pigment and not with the person.
Yeah.
And that does, it's a two-way street. You're right. It's an absolute two-way street. And when you're voting for somebody, whether it's a governor, whether it's a mayor, whether it's president of the United States of America, you're not voting for a pastor. You're voting for a leader. Now they could have some qualities of a shepherd, right?
Yes.
But leaders need to have far different qualities and be able to handle a lot of dark stuff and have the clear vision to see through that where a nation needs to go.
Yeah.
So you're voting for a leader. And because if you exposed a pastor to probably the deepest secrets of the United States of America, a lot of them, it would probably torture them, honestly, emotionally, some of them. So probably some of them would be very hard for them to take. You need someone that is hardwired and built for this. And when God searches the heart, he knows the innermost parts of the heart of somebody that we don't, and what makes them tick and why they do what they do and why they believe what they believe. And so when God searches that, right, many times he finds it in someone that we would find unlikely, right? David, a shepherd boy. Joseph, sold into slavery, into Egypt. Never thought a Hebrew would leave Egypt. They looked down on them.
Oh, yeah.
They did. The most unlikely, many times, tax collectors and fishermen were Jesus's people of choice as far as the disciples.
The harlots. Let's just use all the harlots in town. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. You know why? Because God will hoodwink the enemy every time.
Yeah.
I mean, when David stood before Goliath, Goliath laughed.
Yeah.
He laughed and God set him up. You know why? Because pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. And when that setup occurred and then he cursed that covenant on top of it, that act of covenant then judged him.
Yeah.
And pride was his judge and his jury. And the political machine is a Goliath in this nation.
Yeah.
And pride will be their judge and jury.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this time.
1 Corinthians 1:27, just to support what Amanda said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. He's going to use a Moses that's tongue-tied. He's going to use Rahab, a harlot. He's going to use a Marty that's, well, there's nothing wrong with me, but okay, I'm joking. But all of us, I really am joking. We all have something wrong with us.
We do.
But I mean, Amanda's still trying to decide which sauce is best, so that we all have our issues.
Keeps me up at night, people.
Gumbo, jambalaya. I'm dealing with this. Which one do I like more? Biscuits, gravy. I don't know.
Oh, you're going to start a raging debate in the chat, Marty.
That's what we're looking for.
That's what we're looking for. Some passion, people.
Okay. Some good passion. Yes. But this is really interesting though, and you had said that God has taken the foolish things, the things that man wouldn't choose. Now, when you mentioned a while ago, so well said, you said, God's not going to pick a leader that's like a pastor. And so now I did pastoral training 3 years. Now I didn't end up pastoring. I probably will someday when I grow up a little bit more. But until then, I did 3 years of pastoral training at one of the best schools in the world. And I learned there's about four or five different types of pastors. And one of them is the most loving, and I'll talk about them. That loving pastor, which I think I might lean over that way one day, because I'm a hugger and I'm real personable. And then you have the one of the higher A versions of, and they're called like a militaristic pastor. And they have mega churches. They have, and it runs like the army, and it's strong. It's like a business, and they're reaching out a whole lot, and they've got tons of missions, and they produce a lot because they're almost more like a Donald Trump personality.
Yes.
So there are pastors, and they're just all different versions, and not everyone knows that. So.
There are, and that's why a leader can have some of those qualities.
Yeah.
It's just people have to understand you're voting for a leader.
Exactly.
And not a pastor, but they can have those qualities. In fact, the Lord would prefer they have some of those qualities, because the most successful kings, biblically speaking, in Israel were ones that wore the yoke that God put on them and submitted to God, his ways, his will, his law.
Yeah.
So
the reason why David was said to be one after God's own heart is because he was chosen by God to be where he was, you know. Now, there wasn't supposed to be a king over Israel.
That's right,
but if they're going to force his hand.
Yes, rejection of, of God.
If they're going to force his hand, he's going to have someone he prefers.
Yeah.
And so many times, President Trump has been referred to as a David. Am I correct?
Yes, he's been referred to as a David. Right now, he could be looked at as a Joseph, you know, with what he's facing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
And so I believe God's hand has been upon him to do his job. I mean, when you listen, when you're from Louisiana and someone talks about draining a swamp, you might get really angry because we love our swamps, but that's not the swamp he was in, that he was coming against.
Yes.
Okay. That's a funny joke. It really wasn't that funny, but just imagine the power of the swamp. You got the Republicans and the Democrats, they're in the same cahoots. Do we still use that word, cahoots?
Yes, they're in cahoots, yes.
They're in cahoots with one another. Yes. And so it's a big job. You can't just have some weak person that can't stand their own and can't take pressure. You have to have a highest level person. And so who cares if he's got quirks about him? We have to have someone stand and fight for us, not against us.
And, you know, we cannot also look at their past and judge them as a whole person by their past, especially if they have turned from such things and they are you know, and they are repentant of it and they know it was not right, because, you know, that is one of the enemy's biggest tricks, is to get everybody to look in the rearview mirror of the past. And he does this when it comes to leadership of nations, too, to try to stop a plan that God has to put a leader in place. Let's look at all of his past, right? Yeah. And litter it all out there. Well, you all have things in your past too, except it's not being littered out there on CNN, MSNBC, and every other news outlet out there.
Uh-oh. Jesus said to him, Jesus said to those religious spirit-driven people at that moment in time, he looked at them and said, let those of you without sin cast the first stone.
And nobody
and
could.
So, it's quite interesting that, you know, humility is everything. And pride is everything opposite of humility. The Lord was dealing with Jenny and I about pride a while back. And I come to find you can't just resist pride. You have to pursue humility. You have to chase after it.
Yes.
When you're doing much more by just chasing after humility, it will actually help you resist pride. So just a little side note there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because pride is a beast that will blind you to what's in front of you.
Yeah.
And that's why you'll fall, because you'll trip and you'll fall because you can't see where you're going anymore. In humility, everything is in perspective. You see it all with such clear vision. And in humility, there is strength from God, because you know your place. And that's far beneath Almighty God. He may use us as vessels, but it is his power, it is his position And we are those broken vessels that he put on the potter's wheel, put back together and filled to be used for his glory, to show what an amazing restorer he is of people.
Yeah.
And we always have to keep that in perspective, no matter what we're given. You know, I tell people I need Jesus every moment of every second of every breath of every day. I need him to do what I do, because he gave it and he could take it away just as fast. You see, they forget where they came from. They forget who gave it to them. They forget how they got where they did. And that's where many of them now stumble and fall. We just had another resignation happen of a pastor publicly. I know you saw another, because of the temperature we're living in.
Yeah.
It's very hard for those that are not true shepherds. It is very hard right now to stay on that narrow path. Very hard.
You had said that while ago about shepherds and showmen.
Yes.
You know, you're reminding me of my circus prophecy.
Ooh.
Huh.
That's good. If we had circus music, I'd play it right now, Marty, just to like cue you in, because.
Let me find my circus prophecy here.
Okay.
Okay. So this was really interesting. So I went to a church here in Tulsa, a friend of mine, Pastor Tim, pastors, and we just went because we love Pastor Tim and his family. And so we went one Sunday morning just to visit him just for a little bit.
That's nice.
And when I was sitting there, you know, it actually, because sometimes, you know, prophecy comes to us sometimes, you know, you might get it in the middle of the night and write it out, or it might come to you as you're speaking it out and you record it. It can come because it's just God getting info to you. This one was while the lady was teaching, God just downloaded me word for word to write. And this is what I wrote. What if the body of Christ has looked like a circus for some time now? Animals large and small, even a serpent and scorpion section for viewing the reptiles and insects. Now listen to this right here. Professional lion tamers. This is talking about pastors.
Wow.
Professional lion tamers holding a whip instead of a sword. The sword is the word of God. Bearded ladies that don't know their gender or their identity in Christ. Strong men that have God's people in a grip through the hand of religion. And last but not least, the clowns. The clowns are those leaders that try to steal the show, showmen, with their funny antics and pride, endeavoring to make all eyes sit on them. Let me tell you something. You want to know what someone that's walking with God looks like in leadership?
Yeah.
They're endeavoring, and I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the people. They're endeavoring to always give God all the glory, all the glory, all the glory.
We have to,
or we just, clowns are entertainers. Clowns are for children, spiritual children. No one has ever grown up following clowns. This is talking about these clown pastors.
Mm-hmm.
But there are the ones that walk the high wire, those, the most dangerous act of all. The concentration and focus on the job is at hand is like no other. Walking a thin wire, staying balanced, not getting too far one way or the other, but walking high above the circus, walking in a place far above all the distractions below. This is mostly talking about leaders in the body of Christ and all these different variations. And you have these clowns, you have these strong men. And I had a vision of people in the church in bars, unable to get out of the church. And they were rattling the walls of the church because it was a prison, and they were stuck in the church, and the pastors were not allowing them to go out and minister to people in the streets. Oh, come to us. Come sit on the pew. We love you. What is that?
There it is.
There you go.
Oh, that's amazing. This is what it is, Marty. It's the music. Clowns. It's the distraction of the music and all the different acts. And I'm not talking about the book of Acts.
Yes.
This is a different kind of act.
Yeah. Showman.
Showman.
Yeah.
Showman, Marty.
And that, so I did a circus series And I call it Circus, the greatest show on earth, because when the body of Christ comes out of their shell and comes back together with the right leadership, it's going to be the greatest show on earth.
That is very true. The greatest show, that is an amazing way to put it, because the Lord makes an open show and spectacle of the enemy.
Yeah.
Before all of creation. I was looking for something here that I had just recently prophesied. Oh, here we go. Okay. This started on June 5th. And then the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. the Saturday of Reawaken America to finish this word. Mm. And so this is a part, I'm going to read a small part of it here.
Okay, yeah.
So it says, let's see here. Let me see where I want to turn at the table scrolls. My church, now is your hour to rise up and be the voice crying in the wilderness, proclaiming the way of salvation and leading a very lost nation through this dark valley. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill. And if part of the church wants to die in that valley of dry bones, then continue on, my little flock. Wow. Prophesy to the valley of bones in your nation that the grave will release its grip and your nation comes forth from the tomb of Sodom it was so placed in.
Mm.
That's part of that word.
Wow. Very powerful.
It is.
So here we are. A few years later, we're still in this. We're still in this church, get into place. And I'm going to tell you something. When you look at the book of James and you really see what he's saying there, he's waiting. Now, this came to me the other day. I'd never seen this before. I've been talking about the precious fruit of the earth, that scripture there in James. Oh, let me look it up real quickly. That way everybody knows. Precious fruit
of the earth.
In James. That's the fastest I've ever typed accurately. Praise the Lord. There's an anointing on me to type right now. Hallelujah. So James 5:7, listen to this in the King James. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Patient, very interesting. Uh-huh. My brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman, that means gardener. That's talking about the Lord. That means the harvester, the gardener. So that's talking about the Lord. He's the husbandman. And that's an old King James word for gardener. The gardener waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. This has been one of my main scriptures of loudmouth prayer for years. Just in the last month, I was talking about this and the Lord just opened it up a little bit more, because I've been seeing that normally when we make reference to the precious fruit of the earth, we're talking about the lost. But they're not the only fruit. We're all fruit of the earth. Yes. They're lost, and we're a different category, found. So we're the found precious fruit of the earth, and they're the lost precious fruit of the earth. And so if the Father is patiently waiting for the precious fruit of the earth to do what they need to do, he's waiting on us to do our job, and he's waiting on them to receive the word of God.
Exactly.
So he's waiting just as much on the body of Christ to do their, just to do their job. This scripture is shouting at the church and shouting at the lost to get saved.
Amen. Amen. Wow. And it is, I mean, now is the precipice, the crossroads, the valley of decision, whatever you want to call it. The church has to do its job.
Yeah.
That's why the Lord says, if part of the church wants to die in this valley, you keep going. You keep going now, my little flock. You keep going through this valley with me because I'm leading you through it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a majority to bring victory and defeat evil. It takes a faithful, obedient minority partnering with God, which becomes the majority.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
Pastors have a responsibility to know what's going on in their cities.
They do.
They do. I've had pastors of large churches look at me and say, I'm not really interested about reaching my city. I'm like, what? I'm telling you.
Oh my.
Blown away by the ignorance, the absolute, almost rebellious ignorance that someone could say something like that. that you'd have a church in a city, but you wouldn't have a longing for the city. It's not the streets and the buildings and the government. It's not the teacher parent conference. It's people. You're basically saying you're not interested in the people of the city. You just want to get in your walls and have the ones inside your little prison. Now, listen, I got to say this, Amanda, because okay. You and I have done these kind of talks before.
Yes.
And someone sent me a message and said, I'm not one of those. Don't put us all in the same category. And we have to say there are a lot of pastors that are doing their job and they're doing it amazingly. And we honor you and you know who you are.
Yes.
And we thank you. Thank you. And please now do this for us. Go drag your brothers and your sisters with you. We need you to influence them. They're going to listen to you more. They'll listen to us because you're in that same category and same class. So try to get a coalition of you. Try to share with others. Try to have breakfast where there's another 10 of you together and you can share with them how the body of Christ in your city needs them. Don't get just stuck in the territorialism between so-and-so street and so-and-so street and so-and-so boulevard and so-and-so avenue. This is my area. No, the whole city belongs unto you. They all need you and you all need to work together.
Because if you don't take that territory, Satan will. And then you'll be surrounded.
Come on.
You'll be surrounded on your little block.
Come on. You just got a triple come on.
Exactly. And that's not what it's about. This is about taking territory back that the enemy unlawfully stole.
Come on.
That he should have never stole.
Yeah.
This is what it's about right now. This is where Shepherd got roll up your sleeves.
Mm.
And you got to be willing to scrap to get your territory.
And you're hearing this from a scrappy Italian.
You are. We're scrappy from that area. We are. Mm.
We I guarantee you she could put your eye out at 50 yards with a meatball. This woman ain't going to mess with you.
And a slingshot. Yep.
Glory
there you go.
God.
Yep.
Well. praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess we could pray for the pastors because we're not here to put anyone down.
Right, they do. It's a hard, it's not easy.
No. It's the hardest thing to do. And we're not here to put anyone down. We're here endeavoring to wake up and lift up.
Amen.
We want them to grow their churches.
Oh my goodness, we do.
We want them to take their cities. We want their income to double, triple, and quadruple where they can reach more. We want them blessed and highly favored.
Amen. We do because that is what shifts a nation.
Yeah.
That is right there what shifts it.
I am not a pastor. But you and I both know, because you have a pastor, I have the local church is where it's at. That's the new, that's what we got to keep always with all the online ministry and all the traveling, because we're both traveling ministers. We both have online ministries. At the end of the day, first and foremost, the local church is where it's at. We are here to supplement and to help and to bring, and we're here to do traveling and do the stuff we're called to do. Paul didn't have a church all the time. He was a traveling apostle. So there is a traveling ministry. Jesus, he wasn't a pastor. He had a traveling. He went to cities and villages over and over. He went to regions over and over. Prophets, I do know, they travel many times in revolution areas. There's areas they'll travel and travel until maybe God will expand their area of traveling. So, but at the end of the day, the pastors and the local church are extremely important in the mind of God because that's where people grow.
Okay, I agree. It is where people grow, and we need the local church.
Yeah.
We desperately need it to do what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Praise God.
So,
well, that's what I got today, my dear sister. Thank you for a good show today.
Well, thank you. It was lovely having you, Marty.
Yes.
And Marty will be back.
Yes.
He will be back.
Can I do a pitch real quickly?
Yes.
For our 20 cities. So, you know, with Loudmouth Prayer, we've been called to 20 cities.
Yes.
And we've got about 8 of those rolling right now. And we have those prayer groups going. But I want to keep developing those prayer groups. And we've started one, Loudmouth Prayer East Coast. And it starts from Maine and goes all the way on down. And I was with them 7 o'clock last night praying. And so we have multiple cities right now. So if you would like to learn prayer and see it demonstrated so that you can catch the power of stepping in the spirit, taking care of business for God, That's our main call of teaching prayer and helping people develop their prayer ability. So I would just say, please go to loudmouthprayer.org, O-R-G. And at the top, you'll see, at the very top, you'll see groups. And click on that and sign up, and you'll scroll down and you'll see our different cities. And you might say, well, Marty, I don't live anywhere near some of these you have right now. That's okay. Just join one, because when you join one, we get you and we can invite you at our Saturday prayer times. We're having live prayer every two or three Saturdays where we're all coming together and praying for the nation together. And so just join one and we'll get you in our system.
Amen. Amen. Join them.
Praise God.
Go to loudmouthprayer.org.
All right. Well, God bless you, sister. Give Chris a big old kiss for me.
I will. I will. I assure you. Thank you. Okay. That was Marty Grisham from Loudmouth Prayer. We thank him so much for joining us. And thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. We appreciate you coming on. We love you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, we have Psalm 51, Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 34, Psalm 35, all incredible. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That I say constantly. We need to. We need our heart cleansed. We do. We need our souls cleansed. We constantly need to check ourselves with that. Also, we talk about Ephesians 1 and 3 from the believer's authority. The first two pages of the book of the believer's authority, those scriptures are in there from Ephesians 1 and 3. I say it every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. I encourage you to say the Lord's Prayer. There is an order to that prayer. Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That is good enough for me. Okay, and it should be for you as well. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will be back on soon. We love you and good night. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together. And we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue, it helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have
dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARC.
Hey, everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount.